This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Windham County Sheriff Keith Clark is well known around Vermont. He's been a vocal and active member of Vermont law enforcement, leading the Sheriff's Association for several years, and speaking out on various topics during his long tenure in uniform. But one thing he did not talk about was his depression and mental illness, until now. Sheriff Clark has recently decided to go public to shine a light on his own life so others might see a path forward, and he joins us now. Keith Clark, it's a pleasure to talk with you again.
Thank you very much for having me.
There was a precipitating incident that triggered a very deep depression that you experienced and found yourself unable to get out of starting in 2015. You got a concussion in the course of your work, actually transporting a patient on an involuntary admission to Brattleboro Retreat, and he knocked you unconscious. What happened after that?
So I was knocked unconscious, went through all the TBI tests to make sure there was no severe injury to the brain, but I was required to be at home for 7 days for the concussion protocol. And when I was home during that 7 days, I suddenly had my first suicidal thought. It came in and it went out, and I even said out loud to myself, where did that come from? I would never do that. But soon it became all-encompassing. It was all I could think about.
Why? It wasn't the concussion or the brain injury that caused that, do you think? Or did that sort of shake something loose in you?
I like the term shaking things loose. I think, and it took a little while through therapy to come to this, that there were already things building up. I was already dealing with issues from my job, going back to 1991 when I first put on the uniform in military service. And so the concussion, what I called and what my therapist called a triggering event. It wasn't the concussion that brought it on the depression. The depression was already there. This just opened it up and became very prominent, and I needed to get some help.
Yeah, you have a stressful line of work. You're the Windham County Sheriff, but as you said, you've been in uniform for a long time. You've been a patrol officer, a state trooper. You served a tour of duty in Afghanistan. How had you been dealing with the stress of your job?
Just burying it and ignoring it. Not taking care of myself, didn't even realize that it was there. I use the analogy, it's like keep stuffing balloons into a box. After a while, that box can't stand any more balloons. And then you think, I'd just pop one and they'll all be over. And so I always thought that I was strong and that I was dealing with it well. I'd exercise, but I really was not addressing the issues as they built up over time.
So you've had this concussion, you're dealing with the concussion protocol, you have your first suicidal thought. But you didn't go seek help then. So what happened? Take us through the steps of the next several months.
So over the next several months, I started stopped doing the things that I would enjoy doing, everything from riding my motorcycle to spending time with family, really isolating myself. Didn't recognize it at first. The suicidal thought went from, again, that quick thought to now I was developing a plan. I certainly had the means. I carry it every day. And it went from an occasional thought to it was all I could think about every day. And then it became part of the problem where I was also having insomnia. I would go days without sleep. And I don't mean getting a little sleep. I would go sometimes 4 or 5 days with absolutely no sleep. I would try and I just couldn't. And so that then made it worse. We start making bad decisions. You just feel unhealthy. And then it just kept going downhill and downhill. And I started thinking about, you know, who do I turn to? Where do I go? I knew the retreat was available. I certainly had EAP. I thought about the stigma. What is the public going to say? And finally, one morning, it was actually May 18th of last year, I said, that's it. I left my house thinking that it was going to be over.
Meaning your life was over.
I knew where I was going to go. I knew I was going to do it. And as I was going there, the retreat literally was in front of me. And I pulled into the parking lot. I sat in my car for 20 minutes going, do I have the strength to go in there? Will they see that I'm as sick as I feel? Locked my gun in the glove box, locked my keys in the car so there was no way that I could leave. Walked in and said, I need some help.
When you were experiencing insomnia and you were not doing the things that had given you enjoyment before, you're married, you have adult children. Did you tell anybody? Did people notice?
My wife noticed something wasn't right. She didn't know about the suicidal thoughts. I've been married 33 years, and I couldn't even say it to her. The person that actually asked me about it was a very close friend of mine, Randy Johnson, the chief at Dover PD. He actually called me the day before, and he said, we talked for a couple minutes, and he said, are you okay? And he was trying to open the door, and all I could say is, no, I'm not. And he said, well, I'm working tomorrow. Let's have lunch. And I said, okay. I didn't have the heart to tell him I didn't think I was going to make it to lunchtime. And we've talked about it. He says, what else could I have asked? So he, you know, later he said it was just he had heard a comment that someone said that, you know, didn't sound like something I would have normally said. So he knew something was wrong. So close friends will notice. My wife noticed, you know, she certainly noticed the insomnia. She noticed some other things. But I could not verbalize it even to my own family.
You have said that you had a plan. You knew how to end your own life. You were ready. You were preparing. What stopped you? Before you went to the Brattleboro retreat, what stopped you?
The thing that I was having the hardest time with was what I was going to put in the note. I knew what I was going to say to my wife. I knew what I was going to say to my adult daughters. I have a 5-year-old grandson, and Hunter and I are very close. Hunter lived with us for a while when his mom was going through basic training in the military. And I could not come up with the right words to say to a 5-year-old I couldn't be there, and why I needed to do what I needed to do. And so in a very strange way, that kept me alive.
And then on May 18th of last year, you find yourself at the retreat. You've locked your keys in the car because you don't trust yourself.
Right.
You walk in. They know you there.
Correct. I've been there serving paperwork. They certainly know who I am, and it was one of those days where I was actually in uniform.
So what did they say? I mean, did they just expect that you were there for a transport or to do something, you know, something related to your job?
Well, I think so, because, I mean, like I said, I go to the retreat all the time. We do transports there. I serve paperwork. I've been to meetings there. And there's three main doors. The far left is where all the administrative offices are. The middle door is for admissions, where you go for help. And the right is the lobby, where if you're there to visit someone. I was so screwed up, I walked into the lobby, and the receptionist, all I could say was, I need help. And she's like, well, I need to know who you're looking for. And I could not verbalize, because there were some other people in the lobby. And she was really struggling with what I needed help with, and I could not say it. And finally, one of the security folks walked through, a guy named Sam, and I know him, he knows me, and he said, hey, Sheriff, what's up? And all I could say is, Sam, I need some help. He knew immediately what I meant.
He could just see it on your face.
He could see it. He went, brought one of the nurses out who brought me in, and I went through the full screening process. And only then was I able to finally open up and say, this is what's going on.
What was going on in your body and your heart that you couldn't say it at that time?
I think part of it was fear. The stigma, like once I say this, once it's out there, it almost, in my mind, was going to add to the stress I was already under. I wasn't sure I could trust the people I know that could help me. But once I met the first screener, and I think her name was Phyllis, and I told her what I was thinking, all I saw in her was compassion and respect and worry. She didn't fear me. And at one point, she had this look, and I actually said to her, good, you carry that for a while. And meaning the weight that had been on my shoulders for months, close to a year. And she goes, that's what we're here for. And they were great. They treated me with nothing but respect and compassion. I can't say enough about the retreat and the programming there.
I'm talking with Windham County Sheriff Keith Clark, and he's opening up about his mental illness, his depression, what led him to get treatment. And you went into the uniformed services program at the retreat. So you were an inpatient for several days. What actually happens when you go in and you've said, I need help, and they recognize that, and you start the process?
Interestingly enough, for a person that's always in control, you have to give up complete control. You control nothing. And in some ways for me, that was the start of my healing, just giving up. So I spent 6 days inpatient to, as they called it, getting stable. The biggest part was they to find the right medication to get me to sleep. The first night, I didn't even sleep the first night there, which they found a little surprising. So they said, well, we have to try something else. So after 6 days, I transferred over the uniformed service program, where I really began to look into what was going on. Yeah, I could blame I was going to try to blame that triggering event, that concussion. But as we started talking about and working through it, I learned that there was more that I needed to address. And I spent 17 days there. They call it partial hospitalization. You're there all day. It was 17 days in a row. No, you don't get weekends off. So right over Memorial Day. I didn't get Memorial Day off. And then you're home at night. You get to sleep in your own bed, but you go back first thing in the morning. And so you learn how to, one, find out what's really going on inside, how to deal with it, how to accept it, and how to take care of yourself in ways that I thought would have just come almost as common sense to law enforcement. But you have to learn how to take care of yourself in a much different way.
What did you tell and what did they tell you when you broke this to the people that you work with at the Sheriff's Department that you were going to be in for a while and sort of out of commission and that this was something that you were dealing with?
The first two that found out were my lieutenant and captain. My lieutenant, I sent a message, my car's at the retreat, come pick it up. And so they basically ran the office. And they didn't tell anybody where I was. They just told the staff that I needed some personal time. And they were very supportive. I think they saw this coming. I think they saw how I distracted I was at work. And then when I got out of the program and I was back at the office, I met with all my staff one-on-one. So this is what I went through and answered any questions they have. I've had nothing but support. And they've known for over a year, and the word never reached the public. They kept it private. They kept it in-house. Not necessarily on my request. I didn't tell them that they couldn't tell anyone. But to my knowledge, they never did it. I never got a call from the press saying, hey, what happened? So kudos to my staff, and I thank them every day.
Why come forward now then? This was something that you could keep private.
I can't keep it private. I'm a public person. I think the public needs to know. But more importantly, by me going public, I can help others to say it's okay to get help. I've already had a couple of law enforcement folks reach out to me and say, will it really help me? And it will. I've told them, if you want, I'll go with you. I'll hold your hand. We in law enforcement, fire service, soldiers, we tend to keep things internal and we try to solve them ourselves. Sometimes we just need help. And we just have to be part of this, of getting over that stigma. It's okay. You know, I crashed my motorcycle a few years. I had to have surgery on my wrist. I got that taken care of. So I had an injury to my brain. As I jokingly say, I just had to find the right doctor with a right length screwdriver to tighten a couple of screws. I joke about it, but it's also part of what I want to tell people. It's okay. Nothing to be afraid of. Your life will be better for it. Your agency's not going to fire you because you got help. They want you to be healthy while you're doing your job. And so it was actually part of my therapeutic plan. When we were going through the process, long-term goals was for me to go public. I did not, as part of my program, wanted to do it within a year, make sure I was stable. And now we're over that. So I want the public to know, and hopefully others out there in law enforcement and in the other uniformed services will get help if they need it.
You know, it can kind of sound neat and tidy, like, you know, you had this problem, then you got it fixed, and now, from now on, you're in good shape. But I can't imagine it's actually quite like that.
It's not quite like that. I worry every day. I have a support plan in place. But the good news is now everybody knows. What's interesting is 3 weeks before I went inpatient, I had my annual physical, my regular doctor. I've been using the same doctor for 20 years. He could see by the blood work that there was a problem. I lied to him. Yeah, sleeping fine. But now he knows. He's been part of my treatment plan. So even I can't hide it anymore from anyone. And so if those thoughts come back, if there starts to be depressing thoughts, I know that how easy it will be for me to get help.
Well, I really appreciate you talking with us and being open about this. I know that it's not the easiest thing, even if it is in your therapy plan. And I appreciate you talking about it. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your time.
Keith Clark is the Windham County Sheriff. And we have a link to resources, including the Brattleboro Retreat Uniformed Service Program, on the Vermont Edition page at vpr.net.